And especially if you're going through a transformation, you need somebody who looks at this, like I said, holistically, right? That says, okay, if we change this tool here, what's going to happen over there, right? If we improve a process here, does that have consequences for, I don't know, our sales department, right? If we change the way we communicate, how do others now understand what we're working on?
Ciao, io sono Marco Imperato e questo è il podcast di Productirus. Productirus è il punto di riferimento in Italia per il product management. Finora abbiamo aiutato oltre 200.000 persone tramite master, formazioni in azienda, guide, articoli e meetup. Lo facciamo anche attraverso questo podcast in cui intervisto product leader che spaccano, che potranno darti tantissimi consigli utili per migliorare il tuo modo di costruire, lanciare e muovere le metriche del tuo prodotto. Prima di cominciare ti ricordo che la Productirus Conference è confermata anche per quest'anno. Si terrà il 3 e il 4 ottobre a Milano nell'aspettativa location di Super Studio Plus in via Tortona. Da pochissimo abbiamo ufficialmente aperto le vendite al pubblico e siamo già a 500 biglietti venduti in meno di 3 settimane. Pazzesco, da oggi potrai acquistare anche tu il biglietto. Fino a ieri era aperto soltanto a chi era in lista d'attesa, mentre se clicchi il link in descrizione oggi potrai accedere direttamente ai pass per la conference. L'ospite della puntata di oggi è Antonia Landi, che è Product Operation Consultant and Coach. Con Antonia parliamo proprio di Product Operation. Ci svelerà tutte le fasi, tutti i processi dietro a questo ruolo che sta diventando sempre più cruciale all'interno dell'organizzazione. Il Product Operation Manager, ruolo che conoscono ancora in pochissimi, anch'io prima di conoscere Antonia sapevo a stento esattamente cosa fosse. Questi processi non solo semplificano la vita del Product Manager, consentendogli di lavorare al meglio e di occuparsi meno di tutta la parte che serve a mandare avanti l'area di prodotto, da cui non dovrebbero essere impattati perché dovrebbero concentrarsi sul valore finale per l'utente. Quindi di cosa si occupa il Product Operation Manager lo scopriremo proprio all'interno di questa puntata. Quindi se anche tu sei curioso o curiosa di scoprirne di più su questo ruolo, dell'importanza che rivestirà e sta rivestendo sempre di più all'interno delle organizzazioni di prodotto, ti consiglio di guardare questo episodio fino alla fine. Se ci stai ascoltando in formato podcast su Spotify o su qualsiasi altra piattaforma, ti chiedo di lasciarci una review con 5 stelle. Il tuo supporto potrà aiutarci a raggiungere ancora più persone e a diffondere ancora più velocemente la cultura di prodotto in Italia, che poi è la nostra missione. Se invece ci stai guardando su YouTube, ti chiedo di cliccare sul pulsante di iscrizione e attivare la campanella per non perderti nessuna notifica. Adesso non mi resta che augurarti buon ascolto e ricordarti che dopo i tempi duri vengono sempre tempi eroici. Eccoci. Ciao Antonia, benvenuta su Productirus.
Ciao, sono felicissima di essere qui a parlarti di Product Operations.
Grande. Prima di farti la prima domanda a tappo, però ti chiedo di spiegarci perché vuoi che continuiamo la conversazione in inglese, nonostante tu parli italiano e tu abbia nome e cognome italiano.
Sì, italiana di seconda generazione, veramente non ho mai vissuto in Italia e non ho mai lavorato in italiano, perciò il vocabolario per la roba di prodotto non credo che c'è.
Grande. Tra l'altro capisco subito se chi mi chiede di switchare in inglese lo fa un po' per essere figo, lo fa perché deve. Quando chiamate le aziende ditte, che è una cosa che si faceva tipo negli anni 80. Allora appena capisco sì. Che cioè, appena una persona inizia a dire no, nella mia ditta, allora capisco che secondo me we should switch to English. So let's start. So first thing first, you basically deal with product operations. That is something I actually never heard of, like in the past few months or years. So first question for you, Antonia. What is or what are product operations and why they are so important in a product led company?
Yes. So I've been in product ops for a few years now, and I myself have actually changed the way I talk about product operations. At the very beginning, I said I was there to make product managers' lives easier, right? That was a very nice, easy way to sell myself to organizations and say, of course, why don't you want to have me at your company? I make your PM's lives easier. But sometimes I actually make it a little bit harder to begin with. It's true. So nowadays, I talk more about how product operations enables product management excellence, right? So I help product managers do their best work. That means I make sure they have all the tools they need, they have access to data, access to customers, they have further education, right? Access to knowledge, so they can do their best work in their companies.
Okay, can you give us like a couple of examples? Because you're saying something that is super interesting that obviously everyone would want Antonio in their team. But how actually works? So how is the relationships between product ops and product management? Because since the very beginning, my first objection was, so you are like an assistant of a product manager or not?
So the idea is really to operationalize routine tasks, right? That doesn't mean that I'm going to do those tasks for the PMs. That means that I create systems so they can spend much less time doing those tasks, or that those tasks are automated. To give you some very concrete examples, one big thing for product ops is tool adoption. Let's say a company of 2,000 people decides they want to now use Miro as a company-wide tool, right? Who does the negotiations? Who sets this tool up? Who makes sure that everybody has the right licenses? Who makes sure that the right folders and teams are set up, et cetera, et cetera? Right. Another thing could be, how do we deal with bug reports coming from customer support teams? Right. How do we prioritize them? What kind of information do we need from them so that we can prioritize them successfully? It can go all the way to who facilitates OKR workshops, right, with senior leadership. Who and how do we communicate our product strategy at all levels, right? It's taking all of these odd jobs and putting them into one role so that this one role can look at how we do product holistically, right? And I think that's really the power. It's looking at it across the board.
So that's great. So basically, you do all the things that product managers are scared to do when they want to like implement like a change in the organization, like as a tool, as a process. So it's like, yes, we surely have to do this thing, but no way I'm going to do this thing, because just myself, I have to do all the like shutdown on the old tool, all the migration, all the rollout, all the education. So for sure, everyone will want you. You, your team, and your expertise in their companies. And, but I reckon it really depends on the company structure, dimension. So, I mean, if you are 10 people, 30, 50 people startups, I don't think it's necessary or at least useful. So what's the dimension, the right dimension to start thinking about operationalization of all the product management related things?
Yeah, so it does really depend on the expertise that's already in your company, because product ops, like these tasks, aren't new, right? We're not inventing new tasks. They have always existed. They're a byproduct of doing product, actually. So if you have a really strong product leader that has been very tuned into these types of tasks and has helped the company grow over time, you might need a product ops team member a little bit later. But if you have some very junior team members, maybe some inexperienced product members, you might need product ops a little bit earlier, because they themselves maybe feel a little bit overwhelmed. I think typically you start seeing the need when you have about 8 to 10 product managers, so 8 to 10 product teams, because that's when you can no longer just sit in a room together and solve things quickly.
That's right. That's right. So, but now the question is, how do you become a product operations manager. So what's, I mean, why? So the first question is why? Because, I mean, yesterday I was with a very smart girl. We were talking about nerdy stuff, product manager, project manager. Yeah. And she was like, yes, I like product management, but I really prefer project management because it's more, you know, like you have more clarity on the things you have to manage. While on the product management side, you are leave it alone with the metric you need to improve. You have no clue on how to work on it. So I'm starting to understand that there is not just product management, but there are very cool roles. But how do you switch? I mean, did you switch from product management to product operation? Do you come from project management and then you went into the... So what's your background?
So my personal story is I was a product manager before I became a product ops manager. And I think I was always just the first person to get frustrated when things didn't work. So I was always the one that went, you know what, I'll just fix it myself. And then suddenly I was a Jira admin because nobody else wanted to be a Jira admin. So that was like my personal story. I genuinely love this type of work. I genuinely love investigating how product companies get work done. But you don't necessarily need to have a product background. I think it is very helpful. And I think what's actually a prerequisite for product ops is to have this kind of product mindset of investigating the problem first, coming up with a hypothesis, testing a solution, and then implementing it. Because really what I'm doing is I'm using product management strategies to improve the product organization.
Okay, so this is a new thing. So you don't just fix things, like, or you make product managers' life better, but you have a direct, you know, impact on the product organization. So do you work together with, I don't know, product leaders, HR, in order to shape the product organization? So how this work?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a very strong advocate for product operations people to report to the CPO, actually, because I really see myself as the right hand of the CPO, right? Like, and the CPO gives me the, where are we going, right? They give me the direction of this is the kind of product org we want to become, and I will help get us there. Right. And that's exactly why this is actually so different from being a product management assistant. Right. It's about really moving the organization forward.
Yeah. And especially in the last few weeks, we starting to work with a few companies on what I call in a very not new way, digital product transformation. But what I see is that we need to like start with organization. So you can even talk about product management sometimes, because in some companies, yeah, it's true in Italy, some companies, there is not, even if they manage digital product, there is not a product organization. It's like there is the chief innovation office, and then there is something like the design is inside the marketing, and you do agile, but you actually are doing waterfall. So what I think is very useful is a person that can drive and change the product organization instead. Because if you leave it just to the product people, I mean, it's a job.
100%.
It's a job. It's a full-time job to have the right organization with the right process, not too complex, but not too easy, with the right amount of documentation. And so it's a very strategic role, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's at this point, right? Some people might be asking themselves, well, isn't that just product leadership? Are you not just a product leader? But the thing is, product leaders have so many more things they should be doing, right? And it's exactly this threshold. At some point, you can no longer just do product ops on the side. And especially if you're going through a transformation, you need somebody who looks at this, like I said, holistically, right? That says, okay, if we change this tool here, what's going to happen over there, right? If we improve a process here, does that have consequences for, I don't know, our sales department, right? If we change the way we communicate, how do others now understand what we're working on?
Yeah, cool. And I think it's like the product leader should say where we want to go.
Yeah.
While like the product operation is like how we go there together without losing people on the street, without bringing on too many people, too many things, and makes our life easier. So is there like a process in order to become a product operation manager? Are there any training courses? If myself, I want to become a product operation manager and I'm like an admin kind of people that I love to manage Jira, Figma, and give all the roles and things. What's the steps?
Excellent question. Honestly, so there is one book on product operations.
Just one book.
Just one. Only recently released. There are some courses, although I personally feel that it's incredibly hard to learn product operations in like a 4-hour afternoon course. I myself write a lot about it. I actually have my own masterclass that will take place in June, but I think really the best way to get into product operations is to learn this product mindset. And there are tons of like books and courses on product management, right? But then also just go out there and do it, right? Because it's really, it boils down to using product management strategies on the product organization. And for that, you need to understand how to run experiments, but you're running them on processes, right? How to do user interviews, but your users are your product managers, you know?
But how do you run experiments when your like experimentation has a direct impact on other product managers? So the basic of experimentation should be fast, should be A/B or cohorts. So how do you manage the people aspect of this presentation?
Yeah, it requires a lot of buy-in from the organization. I think it's important to remember that product ops on its own cannot change the organization, right? The organization needs to be willing to change. But it's really about doing things quick and dirty, right? Like spending the least amount of effort into building a solution before you understand whether it's the right solution or not. And sometimes that means doing things manually, right? As a product ops manager, before we buy a new tool or before we try to automate something, sometimes it means just taking one team or two teams and trialing a new process with them. And sometimes it means doing it in a time-constrained fashion. So saying, okay, we will try this for 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, we will have a retrospective and we'll see if this needs to be changed or adopted.
Okay, but you say in order to change an organization is not just about product operations, but you have to have the buy-in from the product, not just product, from the leaderships of the organization. So my question is, how can you be sure they are buying in the change? Because everyone say, I want to change. We want to change. Then, we are with product heroes, with companies, it's like every time the same thing. We want to change 100%. Then when they start to feel the pain, because obviously changing is painful, and you need to push through pain, is what I say. But how can you be sure you have the buy-in from the leadership? Do you have any tips?
You can never really be sure, right? You can even ask all of the right questions in an introduction call, in an interview process, and you might get there. And exactly like you say, once people realize, hold on, this person is telling me to change my behavior, right? That starts getting uncomfortable. And I think this is the most difficult part of being in a product operations role, because you really need to, you need to rally people around you. You need to do so much PR for your role and so much talking about what you're doing and why you're doing and the way in which you're doing it. And honestly, product managers are some of the most difficult people to work with.
Really? Right? But why?
It's supposed to be that way. They are people with very, very strong opinions. And I love it because I'm exactly the same way. But getting them on board, it's not easy because they will ask questions, right? They will ask, right? They will ask, okay, but what does this mean now? Or why do you think this is better than what we're currently doing, right? So that is definitely the most difficult aspect.
Okay, is there some sort of structure of a product operations team in a much bigger company? So is it like a department, a function, a business unit? How does it work? I mean, scaling product operations.
Yeah. So you can go two ways. I have seen product ops teams that specialize by domain or business unit, like you say, right? Because it's very likely that depending on how different the business units look, you might actually need different processes or you might need different tools, right? So you can specialize in that way. I have also seen more general operations teams that then specialize in product operations, design operations, research operations, and so on. So those are broadly speaking the two different ways in which you can tackle this.
And do you work, or I mean, do you organize your work into sprints, release? I think so, because I mean, you are releasing a new process, you are releasing a new organization. So do you think with the, like the timing, the momentum of the product sprints?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you work together on this?
I'm not really sure how much benefit there is in working in sprints specifically. I don't think product ops necessarily needs a regular cadence, because looking at the jobs that we do, it's very likely we have projects of a different length. You know, we might have a project that will take 6 months or more. And obviously, we will continuously improve and iterate on that and try different things, right? But let's say, as an organization, we decide to move away from Asana and to Jira. That's a huge undertaking, right? Because so many different things are connected to it, right? That's going to take months, if not a year, right? And then in the meantime, you also have smaller things to tackle. You have the regular rituals and rhythms of the organization, right? If you have a quarterly planning cycle, that's something that needs to be managed. If you have monthly all hands calls, right, where the entire product organization gets together, that's something that needs to be managed. So I think it's many different rhythms. I don't necessarily think it makes sense to constrain ourselves to, you know, 2 weeks or 4 weeks at a time.
Okay. And can you give me an idea of the size of the subject, the people? So how many companies have the product operations, like role or department inside? Can you give me some figures? Because in Italy, I recently spoke with one CPO who had the product operations like role in the organization, but it's very rare.
100%. And it's still very rare, even in Germany or the UK or the US. I think the majority of product companies don't have a product operations team member. It's definitely getting better, or it's becoming more widespread, right? But then the question becomes, okay, we are aware of product ops now. Does it mean we need a full-time member? Does it mean we need an entire team to manage this, right? I think right now there is a lot more awareness than there was in 2020 when I started in the role. I mean, when I started, there were two articles on the entirety of Google and really? Like one ebook. So yeah. It was like, there was nothing. So we've gotten a lot better. You know, we have a book, like I say, we have some community spaces, we have some courses, but we are still a long, long way from having this be something that's common.
To me, it looks like that by creating these product operations, like domain, let's say, we found a name for all the things you should do for sure as a product manager that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Because obviously, as I was saying before, if you need to move a metric, you have no idea. So you have to study a lot, work a lot. And the last thing you want to do is do the migration from Asana to Jira, but no one else. Because you know that Jira is very, is better or is worse. ClickUp, Jira doesn't make any difference. But you don't want to do that because you are like taking time off the most important
thing. Absolutely. And that's exactly how I felt when I first heard about product operations. I was like, this has a name, you know, like all of these things that I have been doing, it actually has a name and it's a thing and it's important.
But one last question on this. If I have a 500 people organization with maybe, let's say, 5-6 teams, so each one with a PM, and I spend a lot of time, and maybe coming from this is a corporate company, we are doing the transformation. How can I start to implement this new role? What the three things I should do before starting, before even thinking or start?
I think the most important thing is really understanding where you as an organization want to be. Right. Because I mean, it's the same with product management, right? Without the strategy, you're just going to be running around like a headless chicken. You really need to understand what does good for us look like organizationally, right? How do we get there? And then what are the things that are missing? What's holding us back? Why are we not there yet? Is it because our PMs or our organization in general is too junior? You know, is it because we haven't really understood what it really means to do product management? Is it because we have lots of really smart people, but we don't have the tools, right? We don't enable them to do their job right. So really that, where do we want to go? And really honestly asking yourself, is this organization ready to change? Because it's not going to be easy, right? It's a transformation, takes years, and it's difficult.
Yes, we know very well. One more thing. So you are building Berlin product managers because you are in Berlin right now.
Yeah, that's right.
With Daniele and Carlo is a very like fresh project with a lot of enthusiasm, especially by Daniele, who is super enthusiastic about everything. Yeah, he's in Italian, like 100%. And can you tell us something more about the community, the goal, how things are going?
Absolutely. I think during Corona, most of the regular product meetups died. Some tried to go online. Some just didn't come back, right? So I think after the pandemic, we really, as product managers in Berlin, I think we're just craving a space to be together, a space that was ours, a space where we could exchange and learn and do it in a fun way, right? I think BPM is a lot about doing big things, but having fun while doing those. And in the long run, we are community first in everything we do, but we're now actually trialing offering courses to people in Berlin so that we can marry our strong community focus with actually helping people improve as PMs and get better and get to the next stage of their career.
Good. What are you learning?
Oh, so many things. We are learning that people are in a lot of tough spots at the moment, right? I think we are seeing this with who joins our meetups. Lots of people are looking for jobs, but at the same time, lots of people are still really excited to become product managers, right? There's still a lot of job switchers coming into product and still being so enthusiastic about the role. I think sometimes in Berlin, there can be a little bit of cynicism about being a PM, right? About being in it for years, still not having found a company that maybe does things correctly, quote unquote. But, you know, it's a little bit of group therapy sometimes, but yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, first meetups we did with product heroes, I think it was a couple of years ago. It looks like the alcoholics group.
Yeah.
Like I'm Marco, I'm not using the Jira.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't spoken to customers in 4 months. Yeah,
exactly. And then what you say is what we are seeing in Italy as well. I mean, it's very strange. I mean, we are going to present the research on the 14th of March. Actually, when this podcast will be out, we already have presented the research. And I already looked at the figures, at the data. And it's very similar to what you're saying and my perception. So there are like two different areas. So the first one is that I love is people super excited about starting their career as a product manager. I still think it's the best job in the world. It's super hard, super stressful, but it's super. And then on the other side, there are like product managers doing the role for like years and a lot of them, like we will give the percentage in a few days. A lot of them are searching for a new job while they are still working. They are actually working in companies. And what I don't understand is if they are too naive about searching about the best company that do all the things correctly, that to me makes zero sense. Because I mean, doing product is not about finding the perfect organization.
Right.
It's about having an impact on people's life and enjoy the ride. Because if you don't enjoy the ride, so it doesn't make any
sense.
It's
not worth it. No. Yeah, absolutely.
Zero.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things, right? Like the perfect organization doesn't exist. And I think to a certain extent, we are actually to blame, right? Because we look at these books that tell us this is the perfect way to do, I don't know, discovery or to do a certain aspect of product management. This is the perfect way of doing OKRs. And then we look, we read the book, we take everything in, we look at our organization. It's like, but it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Right. It doesn't work. And that's, I love frameworks, but you cannot take them at face value, right? It's like getting just a random suit off the rack, not even looking at the size, and then being frustrated when it doesn't fit, right? You need to tailor it to yourself. You need to tailor it to your organization. And like, let's just be honest about what's going to work in our companies and what's not going to work. You can't go from never speaking to customers to speaking to customers every week, right? Let's try speaking to customers every quarter and let's see how that goes. And then let's move on from there.
Yeah, 100% agree. And one thing you say, there is this like the search of the perfect organization or the
right.
Sacro Graal, like the thing,
yeah.
Indiana Jones, you know.
And, the Holy Jesus Grail. Christ.
Yeah, the Holy Grail, exactly. And what's fun is that a lot of people think about the organization this way. Like we were in a meeting a couple of weeks ago talking with the executive of a very big, huge company. It was like they were expecting that by changing the product organization, the pain will be gone forever.
Yeah.
Like zero complexity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after the organization, everyone will be happy. Everyone will smile. No problems at all. While what I was trying to like to give them as a, my personal point of view, and I would like to hear your thought on this, is that yes, it's very bad when you have complexity that is coming from bad organization. I mean, really bad organization, like things you don't have to do. and we can fix that. I mean, it's going to take 2 months, 3 months, 2 years. We have no idea. But then you will have the standard, what I call complexita standard. So the standard complexity that comes from basically not knowing what to do every time. So you don't know what to do all the time. So sometimes there are like moments in which you say, yes, we got it. But most of the time you want to improve something, you have no clue. And this is the good part of working in tech. So it's not just about product management, it's about product marketing, product growth, about engineering, design. We are all one team. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, right? Like once you remove the barriers to getting work done, product management is still incredibly difficult, right? And you're not going to fix that because the job is all about managing ambiguity, right? And understanding, or a lot of the time we're guessing, right? Let's be honest. Like even if we do 50 interviews with customers, at the end of the day, there is still a possibility we're building something that nobody's interested in. And that's something we need to deal with. That's something we need to learn to accept, right? At the end of the day, once you remove all of the barriers, you still have the incredibly difficult job of doing product management.
So the last two questions, so they are always the same. So first one is, which skill for you is the most important skill for a product manager?
Communication, hands down. I mean, I might be biased because I studied English literature and journalism, right? So I always kind of had that in my back pocket, but you are talking to different departments, different teams, different levels, right? You're talking to leadership one time, then you're talking to a junior of a different department another time. And being clear in your communication and making sure that people understand what you're saying, that it's readable, even when they have only a little bit of time, right? All of these things will just make your life so much easier.
And if I have to start a career in product management, like I'm a project manager or a marketing guy or girl, and I want to start my career in product management, which tip would you give me?
I think it's really practice a product mindset. And you don't have to work in a tech company. You don't even have to work anywhere to practice this, right? But try in your surroundings, try identifying a problem and then understanding whether that problem exists in that way, whether it's acute enough to solve. Try coming up with a hypothesis with a small testable solution and then try seeing what happens, right? It's getting into the habit of this. It's actually just complex problem solving, right? Over and over and over again. If you can practice that, that can already get you quite far.
Okay, Antonia, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Let's meet each other at the Product Heroes Conference. So I'm super happy to see you guys in October in Milan. And good luck for everything. And we hope to bring you in Italy to help some companies on product operations. Because they will
amazing.
Need it.
I would love that.
Ciao, Antonia.
Ciao.
Grazie per aver ascoltato questo episodio di Product Heroes. Se l'hai trovato utile, iscriviti su YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, insomma, dove ascolti i tuoi podcast normalmente. Così non ti perderai neanche un episodio. Prima di andare via, vota con 5 stelline questo podcast o scrivi un commento, una recensione. Questo ci aiuterà a raggiungere sempre più persone e quindi aumentare la diffusione della cultura di prodotto in Italia, che poi è la nostra mission finale. Quindi il podcast è soltanto uno dei tanti modi che Product Heroes utilizza per spingere la cultura di prodotti. Trovi maggiori informazioni e tutte le attività che svolgiamo su productheroes.it. Ciao e alla prossima!